All right. Our next topic is about evidence and hearsay at SOA. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the gentleman to my left, because almost everybody in this room has had occasion to be introduced to him at one time or another. I was looking at the biographical information that he submitted for something that maybe you didn't know about him, besides the fact that he's been an ALJ for many years and is now a partner at Jackson Walker. And I found out that he delivered pizza. That was one of his jobs when he was younger. He did have many years at SOA, many of them as a master ALJ, and so he's got a wealth of information to share with us about the presentation of evidence and hearsay concerns at SOA.
Well, good morning, everybody. I tend to speak loudly, so I apologize if I'm a little too loud. That was a very appropriate talk before me, because after listening to me talk for an hour, I'm sure you're going to all feel impaired. Ultimately, they've given me an hour. I hope that I can keep your attention for that time. Ultimately, I was a SOA ALJ for almost 19 years, but I left about 6 years ago. And in that time, a lot has changed at SOA. It's kind of a different place in many ways, and I want to start off this talk with just talking about a couple different things that I've seen that are different than when I was there as a SOA judge. First off, you know, we have the issue of virtual hearings. These are the new normal. That was not the case when I was there, but after COVID-19 and the pandemic, we have now moved to a world where pretty much most hearings, or the majority of hearings, are done virtually, and that's going to be a constant going forward. I don't think that's going to change. So that has a lot of implications if you have a hearing at SOA. First off, and I use them, there's a misnomer on this slide. It says must file exhibits, but actually SOA is very explicit about drawing a distinction between submitting exhibits for the ALJ and actually pre-filing exhibits. And they're very clear that there's a difference between that, and that you can only file exhibits if the rules allow it or the judge requires it. And so what we're talking about, really, it should say must submit exhibits in advance. And I have listed up there MOVE-IT. MOVE-IT is going away. As of October 31st, that will be the final day for the use of MOVE-IT. They are going to a new system that is referred to as KiteWorks. And they already are implementing it. They're in the process of implementing it. And so they're very explicit that MOVE-IT will no longer be used after October 31st. I also mentioned party share file, because something that I've seen that we've done in some hearings to deal with the virtual aspect of it and dealing with exhibits is we have maintained a private party law firm share file site where all the parties can upload their exhibits, and then we can have a person designated to, anytime somebody wants an exhibit pulled up, to just say, can you pull up, you know, applicant's exhibit 14 or protestant's exhibit 7, and then that person pulls it up, and we have just one person running all the exhibits, makes it streamlined. They're all at the hands of a single person, and we found that to work pretty well. But either way, you have to file your or submit your exhibits in advance 3 business days before the hearing. That's a different practice than what we used to have when your hearings were in person. And also, submitting your hearing or your exhibits to the ALJ does not relieve you of the obligation of serving them on the other parties. So you still have to serve them on other parties. You have to learn to display exhibits virtually, and that's what I said. We have a practice where we will just have one person operating it. That it avoids the problem of, I can't get this to pull up, I'm having trouble sharing my screen. If you have one person who's doing it and they're doing it for everybody's exhibits, it makes it very easy. You have to file typically your cross-examination exhibits the night before. A lot of times by 7 or 8 o'clock the night before, you have to submit your cross-examination exhibits. And you have to provide your proposed exhibits to the court reporter before the hearing. And then, as an additional step, typically after the hearing, you have to go back and submit to the court reporter all of the exhibits that were actually admitted. So you have to then provide them essentially with the record exhibits. As a practical pointer, what I tell people is because sometimes in like transmission line CCN cases or other cases where you might be using mapping, You may be used to having like GIS files or other exhibits that would require special software. You really should avoid that when you're doing virtual hearings at SOA because it's very difficult. A lot of times they don't have the special software that you might need. So that can be a challenge.